How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. A huge effort is underway to fight human trafficking along the Fig, and a homeless housing project in West LA right now is in limbo. But first, a man called the Pillowcase Rapist is about to be released to the Antelope Valley, and people there are not happy about it. Emily Valdez reports.
Christopher Hubbard raped more than 20 women in LA County in the early 70s. He was arrested, then released from prison in the early 80s. He moved up north, continued his violent raping spree. He was released again in 1990, assaulted yet another woman, 40 in all.
So this is an individual that we know to be a violent sex offender. We know that rehabilitation is not an option for him.
Jan Wise is with the Juniper Town Council. It's a small, remote community in the Antelope Valley. That's where he's slated to live when he's released from a mental hospital. He will have an ankle monitor, but that area has spotty service at best.
It's not going to be guaranteed that it's going to be there all the time, because we know that that area goes down all the time, especially with landline service. Very spotty cell phone service, and again, there's no internet service over there.
An LA judge will decide October 1st if Hubbard will be released to Juniper Hill.
Going to hear what LA County District Attorney George Gascon has to say about this in a few minutes on Nonstop News at 5. It was on this day 243 years ago that Los Angeles had its first settlers. There were just over 40 people. Council President Paul Krikorian honored them at today's council meeting.
Today is Los Angeles's birthday. This city was created by some incredibly brave, resilient, hardy people who walked here from the Mission San Gabriel and who made their way up from other parts of what was then Spain to come here and form a city on September 4th of 1781, a town. And those 44 pobladores, you know, were really the spirit of Los Angeles.
And Los Angeles became incorporated on April 4th of 1850, several months before California became part of the United States. A huge crackdown on prostitution, especially involving children, along a popular South L.A. strip. Karen Adams has more.
Federal and local authorities have joined forces to go after the pimps and other sex traffickers who are grooming and abusing young girls, mainly in foster care, into a life of prostitution on the Fig. U.S. Attorney Martine Estrada says the 3.5-mile stretch of Figueroa between Gage and Imperial turns into an outdoor bordello at night.
What we see is a human rights tragedy playing out each and every night. We see underage girls walking around and next to nothing with pimps lurking nearby in cars supervising everything. We see a parade of cars with eager Johns slowly driving down the street looking to take advantage.
He says the Figueroa Corridor Human Trafficking Initiative has already prosecuted pimps, cited Johns, and closed hotels, but more importantly, rescued the young women as young as 11 years old.
We have victim services on the federal side and on the state side, which we've been using. The FBI and HSI have resources to rescue victims. The county has been using resources to help victims. The DA's office has resources to address victims. So we are very much focused on treating these children as victims.
Officials say so far this year, 84 girls have been rescued from a life of prostitution on the Fig. In downtown L.A., I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Sting operations nabbed a Northern California man. Felony charges could be filed against him tomorrow for trying to arrange a sexual encounter with an underage girl who was actually an undercover officer. The 44-year-old man arrested Saturday morning after driving from Sacramento to Murrieta to meet the girl. It's being held on $100,000 bail. His case currently being reviewed by the Riverside County DA's office, but those charges are expected to come down tomorrow. Construction of a homeless housing project in West LA is on hold after a business owner filed a claim The city's violating state law. The Midvale housing project in the Rancho Pico area started a couple of weeks ago, but now work has been suspended, according to the Midvale Pico Coalition. That's a group that's opposed to this project. The lawsuit claims the city violated California's eminent domain law when it changed the use of the land from parking to housing without holding public hearings. L.A. City Attorney's Office has not responded, nor has City Councilmember Katie Yaroslavsky, who represents the area. San Gabriel Valley residents being invited to give their opinion on a road project that could add more bike lanes through two cities. Natalie Tavidian has more.
If you're seeing more and more bike lanes and pedestrian walkways, road work in cities across Southern California, it's because Caltrans is spending about $930 million over the next 4 years to improve bike and pedestrian infrastructure. And in the San Gabriel Valley, people who commute through, live, work, or just frequently visit Temple City and Rosemead are invited to share their thoughts on three proposed Caltrans projects. Diana Jimenez is a spokesperson.
We see the purpose is to provide a safe and accessible manner to travel for all the commuters and anybody who's passing by on Rosemead Boulevard.
The meeting is at the Jeff Seymour Family Center in El Monte on September 25th. Details on KNXnews.com.
Two men have been charged with murder in the killing of a music promoter in Glendale. Robert Danucci was shot to death in the parking lot of a strip mall last month. Two men also accused of using a gun while lying in wait. They're going to be arraigned later this month. They're both facing a maximum of life without parole. Three men from Sacramento have been arrested, and they're accused of kidnapping an Antelope Valley business owner at gunpoint last year. He was beaten, his home robbed, he was abandoned in a desolate area of the desert. And a fourth suspect in this case still on the loose. The three men are facing a maximum of life in prison. Going to hear some harrowing accounts from students who survived today's school shooting in Georgia. That's all coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues.
The Big Story on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Here's Chief Correspondent Charles Feldman.
Lawmakers and others are now speaking out against the release of a serial rapist who will live in the Antelope Valley. Christopher Hubbard, you may recall, was dubbed the pillowcase rapist. This after convictions in 1973, 1982, and 1990 in L.A. and Santa Clara counties for a series of rapes and other crimes. Well, a judge up in Santa Clara County granted Hubbard conditional release in March, and the court determined he should live in Juniper Hills, that's near Pure Blossom. With us now is L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon, who's opposed to Hubbard's release. George, as always, thanks for being with us. Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Charles.
So are you opposed, to be clear about this, are you opposed to his release period, or are you opposed to his release and his destination?
All of the above. I'm opposed to his conditional release, primarily because he was convicted in three different locations. He was given an opportunity to rehabilitate, and, you know, we question whether he's rehabilitated now. We're also opposed to the release of Mr. Hubbard here in L.A. County. You know, his only connection to L.A. County was in 73. He committed an offense in L.A. County. And once he was released, he went up north where he committed additional offenses, as you indicated, in the early 80s and 90s. And then he was only returned to L.A. back in 2014 because the court ordered that he be placed a conditional release as part of a, you know, sexually violent predator back in L.A. County. That was his only connection at that point after he had committed two separate incidents up north. He violated the terms of that release and was sent back to the hospital. And now they're saying he's rehabilitated again and he's ordered for a conditional release. This, as you indicated, it was a Santa Clara court decided that he should be sent back to L.A. And then finally, I'm specifically opposed to Mr. Hubbard being housed in the Antelope Valley. In the last 3 years, we've had three SVPs sent to the Antelope Valley. This places an unfair burden on that community, and it places an undue burden on the survivors of sexual violence that reside in that community and that still live with the trauma that they have experienced in the past. Our teams, by the way, will be at the community meeting tonight to answer questions, and we're asking residents in the Antelope Valley to either attend or send us their concern. If they send it to our website, we'll put them in our
But George, other than having the sort of town hall meetings, What more, if anything, can you do as district attorney?
Yeah, you know, what we can do is limited, of course, but we can oppose it, and we will. There will be a hearing in early October, and we will be there to oppose, as we have the other two, by the way. We've opposed each of those releases, and having the community provide feedback that we will share with the court could have an influential impact on the ultimate decision by the court.
How unusual is it for somebody, and of course he has an unusual background, so maybe it's an unfair question, but how unusual is it for a serial rapist to eventually be released into some community?
Look, I mean, generally, it's, first of all, thankfully, this is not very common, right? So thankfully, this is a, you know, this is a limited situation. This is unusual because this man has already been released three times before. And quite frankly, what I find extremely troubling is the fact that a Santa Clara court is deciding that this person should be released in our community when the fact is that the crimes, his last two commitment crimes, were in the county of Santa Clara, and that was, you know, between 30 and 40 years ago.
All right. L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon. George, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Charles. I appreciate you.
All right. Coming up with Nonstop News at 5, you can hear from students who were there today in that school in Georgia as a mass shooting took place, four people dead. And what you're going to notice about these students in describing what they experience is how matter-of-fact they all sound. It's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. One of the four people killed in a mass shooting at a high school in Georgia today has been identified by local media as a 14-year-old autistic boy. Police say the shooting suspect is also a 14-year-old boy identified as Colt Gray. Other victims in the shooting at the high school in the small town of Winder were two teachers and another student. The suspect is in custody right now. Officials say he will be charged with murder as an adult. One student talked about the shooting with the local NBC News affiliate 11 Alive.
Was there ever at any moment when you thought you were in danger?
Oh, yeah. I thought I was going to die. It was like, it sounded so close. I'm sure it was because it was right near. I don't know exactly which door, but you hear bang, bang, like they're kind of like they're trying to get in a door. It wasn't our door, but I'm sitting right by the door. And so it sounds like they're trying to get in, but I don't know if it's shots or they're just trying to get in. We were just having a normal day. It wasn't anything different than what we were used to. They usually make you put up your phone, but I was charging mine today. So I luckily had it, and it was just normal. And then bang, 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 hard lockdown. And the teachers were phenomenal. Like, we have a special teacher for the blind kid, and then we have our normal teacher, and they were very good at doing their job of keeping us calm.
And two other students talking with the Fox TV station there, Fox 5.
I was sitting in my classroom, and he came up to my door, or the door to our classroom. Classmate got up. She went to open the door, but she didn't, because she saw that he had a gun. She announced it. As soon as she announced it, he started firing. We all went into the corner. He went to the other classroom next to ours, and I'm pretty sure I heard like 6 to 8 gunshots. And then I'm pretty sure he moved on to another hall because I heard more gunshots.
I was in class around like 10:30, and I heard 4 gunshots, and we all just like stood there, looked at each other, and our other healthcare teacher came in and told us to run to the closet or bathroom to hide.
Another student says her whole class saw their statistics teacher shot dead in front of them. Law enforcement officials told CNN the weapon used was an AR-15 style rifle. We're expecting another update on the shooting around 40 minutes from now. 5:20, time for a look at your money. Here's Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons.
Stocks finished the day mixed. The Dow ended up 38 points, or 0.1%. The S&P lost 9, or 0.1%. The Nasdaq was down 52, close to 0.3%. The Fed's look at regional economic conditions, known as the Beige Book, shows economic activity was flat or declining across most regions in recent weeks. That includes employment. Companies say they're being more selective with their hires. Lyft is shifting gears and reducing its workforce by 1% in hopes of lowering its operating cost. It plans to sell some of its bike and scooter business and put more focus and resources in its core
rideshare operations. Sources say Fortive, a $25 billion conglomerate, plans to spin off its industrial test and measurement business to concentrate on software and healthcare. I'm Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Match for nonstop news at 5 for Wednesday, September 4th, 62 days until the election. More nonstop news tomorrow at 5, and check out 20 minutes of nonstop news with Vicky Moore and Mike Simpson tomorrow morning at 7:30.